morning will be taken from Hebrews 5, verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission.
In surveys, American adults by the majority say that they pray either daily or frequently. The ancient Jews prayed three times each day in addition to prayers at mealtimes. Although he was God's son, Jesus prayed often and at length to his Father God. He humbled himself. He submitted to his Father God's will through prayer. That's the nature of prayer: humility and submission toward God. But as God in the flesh, why did Jesus pray to his Father God? From what the Bible reveals, it appears that Jesus depended upon his Father God for guidance, for strength, for ability, and for encouragement. And he received all of those through prayer. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 19, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." In John chapter 7 and in verses 16 through 18, Jesus said of himself, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him." Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Later on in Mark, in chapter 6, in verses 45 through 47, we're told of Jesus sending his disciples away while he went up onto a mountainside to pray. He began praying in the late afternoon, it seems, and he prayed until late evening. Some of you guys think Bruce Tabor prays a long prayer. This is a long prayer. How many hours was that? You know, when you start putting together the things that come right before it, Jesus probably prayed about six straight hours. Why did he do this? Why was Jesus praying and praying and praying? On both of these occasions, Jesus was physically and emotionally exhausted. He needed the strengthening only his Father God could give him. Luke chapter 6 and verses 12 through 13 tells us, "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night in prayer, praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles." Now, if that prior prayer of 6 hours wasn't long enough, how many hours was this? 8, 10, 12 hours of prayer? Nothing but prayer? God's Son spent the entire night in prayer, seeking God's wisdom about which men he should choose to be his apostles. If Jesus was God's Son, Shouldn't he have had the ability to choose these men without his Father God's input? No. These 12 men would be the closest to Jesus. When he returned to his Father God, these men, these 12 men who he designated as apostles, would be responsible for taking the Father's saving message to the world. This had been Father God's plan from before the creation of the world. He would sacrifice his only Son once for the sins of the world. The choice of these men had to be submitted to Father God for his wisdom and his will to be done. So Jesus depended on him for guidance. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29 tells of Jesus removing an evil spirit from a boy after his apostles were unable to remove it. When they asked him why they failed and he succeeded, Jesus replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." If Jesus was God's Son, shouldn't he have had the ability to remove this spirit without praying to his Father God first? No. Jesus always humbled himself to his Father God to show him, his Father God, as the source of power over all things, and most of all, over Satan, and to glorify his Father God in all things. The longest of Jesus' prayers that's recorded is in John chapter 17, verses 1 through 26, as Andre read to us earlier in our worship this morning. In this prayer, Jesus asked to share in his Father's glory as he completes the job that his Father sent him to accomplish. He asked his Father to protect the people who had obeyed and followed him. And he asked that the people who believe in him in the future would be united with one another and with him and the Father. Why did he ask these things of his Father God? If Jesus was God's Son, shouldn't he be able to make these things happen? Yes and no. Everything Jesus was able to do came from his Father God. He had already made that very clear. Asking these things showed his humility. It showed his submission. It showed his love, and it showed his respect for his Father God. And it also showed his Father God's love and power to accomplish these things. Jesus' most poignant prayer is worded just hours before he's arrested and tried before illegal courts and then executed. It reveals his intimate relationship with his Father God as he opened his heart to him. It's found in Mark chapter 14. And in verses 32 through 36, we read, "They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death,' he said to them. 'Stay here and keep watch.' Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. 'Abba, Father,' he said, 'everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.'" As that passage continues, we understand Jesus prayed essentially the same prayer two more times. Another of the Gospels said that in the course of this, Jesus sweat as though it were drops of blood. When the Scriptures speak to us about praying fervently or earnestly, this is exactly what it's talking about. To pray with such depth of concern and of desire and of need. that our sweat in that prayer is though it were drops of blood. To pray so openly, so deeply about our concerns as Jesus did. To address Father in the most intimate of terms, to open our hearts about the things that are deepest in our needs, emotionally or otherwise. Was Jesus trying to avoid the physical agony that he would experience by way of torture and crucifixion? Is that what he's talking about in this prayer? Was carrying the weight of the world's sins too heavy for him? Is that what he was praying about in this prayer? Did he fear being separated from God spiritually because of carrying that sin for all humanity? Is that what he was praying about in this prayer? Whatever Jesus' reasons were for pleading with his Father God to take that cup from him, it's very clear that Jesus humbled himself in full submission to his Father's will, even to the point of death. Jesus' dependence upon Father God through prayer exemplifies how you and I need to turn to our Father God in prayer. There probably is no other, no greater example in all of Scripture than the frequency and the heartfeltness of Jesus' prayers. Our humility, our submission, and our dependence upon God for guidance, for strength, and for encouragement are always answered by God affirmatively, always positively, always to our needs. Through personal experience, a missionary named Hudson Taylor made this observation. God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul talks about what he calls a thorn in his flesh. He never describes it. People have speculated long on it, and it doesn't really matter what it was. But it was something that troubled him deeply, and he prayed to God about it. And he said the answer from God was, "My grace is sufficient for you." And so Paul would say, as a result of that, I glory in my weaknesses because when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because he depended upon God, and God always came through for him. He talked about the idea of his own weakness being something to glory in because God could make it glorious to his glory, not to Paul's. William Barclay commented, "Prayer is not an excuse for being lazy and pushing all the work off onto God. Prayer is a way to find strength and ability to do things along with God that you could never have done by yourself." If Jesus could say that he could do nothing without his Father God, what makes you and I think that we can do anything of value without God? From Acts chapter 1, verse 14, and chapter 2, verse 42, and chapter 3, verse 1, and chapter 4, verse 24, and chapter 6, verse 4, it's clear that the early Christians understood that they must humbly and submissively seek their Father God's guidance and strength and encouragement. They found that God always provided them with what they needed. So early followers of Jesus echoed his teachings, like the one we find in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 7, where Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." What comfort is there? What great assurance is there? What great strength we can gain from that? Whatever we're facing in life, if we pray like Jesus, God will provide what we need. And we need to reassure ourselves with that, because Scripture reassures us about that over and over. Hebrews 12 and verse 9 says, we should submit to the Father of our spirits and live. And so it is that true life, the full life that Jesus talked about bringing to us, comes as you and I submit ourselves, not just now and then, not just a portion of our lives, but wholly submit ourselves in every way, at all times, to God the Father. And as we do so through prayer, as we humble ourselves in submission and in dependence to God, there we find true life. I would submit to you that with all that the early Christians in that first century faced, with all of the persecution they faced collectively and individually, that they came to depend upon God fully through prayer, and that they could withstand that persecution that they faced and the losses that they faced only and fully, and go joyfully to their death because they trusted God in prayer to provide what they truly needed. Prayer begins with our humble submission to God our Father and His will for our lives. If we go to God the Father for His guidance, then we will follow His will regardless of what it means, even if that means death. It means that you and I will submit ourselves to Him in love because we trust His unending love and wisdom and power for us. Not to give us that, not to be ours alone, but to be His working through us, to our blessing and to His glory. This is what it means to pray like Jesus. Not only in prayer, but our forever life with God begins with our humble submission to Him and to His will for our lives. Have you humbly submitted your life to God the Father and to His will for the entirety of your life? If you have, praise God. But if you haven't, why not take that step this morning and begin to enjoy all that God has in store for you, beginning with one of the most significant things you could ever have, His forgiveness for your sins and His adoption as a result into His family to live with Him forever. If we can help you in any way, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing this song?